Happy Resurrection Day, and welcome to the Linked Up Church podcast. We are passionate about connecting people to God, family, purpose, and community. Today, Pastor Joel Gregory continues in his life-changing series entitled God's Plan. Get your pen and your pad ready, and let's go into the worship center and hear what God has for us today.
Let's get into this. We've been talking about God's plan over the last 3 weeks, and we know it's always good to have a plan, and God had a plan, and you saw elements of that plan being played out before us today. And point number one, we went back to God's plan, and we started from the beginning. This will be new information today, and so if you want all of the information we've shared up to this point, it's in the YouVersion Bible app or in our Linked Up Church app that you can go to the App Store and download. And point number two, we talked about God's plan and how love was here before the foundation of the world, because God is love. So it made sense that he created something for us to enjoy. And then last week, we looked at he chose us before the foundation of the world. Somebody say he chose me. Before he ever created this world, he had me and you on his mind. And let's pick up today with number four. He paid the cost before the foundation of the world. You know, my grandmother used to say she makes the rules, because she would say, I paid the cost to be the boss. Right? Anybody ever heard that before? Parents or grandparents ever say that? Well, how many know God paid the cost to be the boss, right? And that cost was the precious blood of his son, Jesus. Let's look at our opening text in 1 Peter 1 chapter, start at verse 18. Now, of course, we know we don't start in the middle of the chapter, but what Peter is doing here, he's really introducing us to how we're supposed to live before God in light of all of these events that have taken place. And so he says in verse 18 of 1 Peter chapter 1, he says, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, like silver and gold from your aimless conduct received by the tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot. He indeed was foreordained, or this was planned before time, before the foundation of the world, but was manifest. This is Peter's account of that word, that phrase there, but was manifest in these last times for you. Somebody say he was manifest in these last times for me. How many know it's a blessing to know that? For that to be revealed to you. That God was actually manifested through Jesus in these last times for me. Who through him believe in God. So the way to God is through his son Jesus, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope would be in God. And so not only were we as believers chosen before the foundation of the earth, but so was Jesus. There was a holy council that took place in heaven between God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. I mean, they all knew that man would fail, and they put a plan in place before this world was ever created. And Jesus said, I'll be the one that'll go and pay the price on their behalf. I don't know about you all, but I'm grateful for that today. And so this plan was put in place before the foundation of the world. I'm not sure about you, but I believe we got the better end of this deal. And so we all remember when we talked about God being love, and love bears all things, and he hopes all things, and he endures all things. So before the foundation of the earth, Jesus, in perfect unadulterated love, was willing to be the Lamb of God who would offer himself so that we could go free. And all of this was planned before there was matter, there was time, and there was space, because he knew that I would need him one day. And for that, folks, I am grateful. Let's look at Romans chapter 6, 6 through 8. In Romans chapter 6, 6 through 8, it says, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. Do you all remember when you were just a slave, when you just did whatever your body told you to do, whatever felt right, you all just did it. And I'm so grateful today that my body has been delivered from that, and I'm no longer a slave to sin. He says here in verse 7, for he who has died has been freed from sin. And what he's talking about is when you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, his spirit comes to live on the inside of your spirit, and it kills that old sin nature in you. Literally, on the day of salvation, it kills that old sin nature that's on the inside of you. And then he says, now if we have died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. So just like today, just like how he rose from that grave, when a person gives their life to Christ, how many know they're also having a resurrection experience of dying to an old way of living, an old nature and an old self. And literally in the spirit realm, they are being risen or raised with him. Just like he came up out of that grave and he had all power in his hand. How many know through salvation, we get to come out of that old life with some power on the inside of us to walk out and live out the victory that he provided for us before the foundation of the world. We are not weak people just trying to get along. We are strong people in Christ who can do anything through him. We are more than conquerors. There's nothing this life can throw at us that we cannot overcome through him. And so the power of sin over us, as well as the penalty of sin, died with Christ on that cross. So our old sinful selves, our old sinful nature, die once and for all. So we are freed from his power. The power of sin refers to our rebellious, sin-loving nature that was inherited from Adam. Though we often willingly cooperate with our sinful nature, the desire to do so comes from our old nature. That's why Paul said, I feel this war going on in my members. So that the things that I would do, I don't do. And the things that I don't want to do, that's what I do. And so how many of y'all know, even though, how many of y'all are saved in here? Raise your hand online, overflow. Raise your hand if you're saved. How many of y'all, you still can sense that on the inside of you that there's a desire to do wrong. But yet there's a power that keeps you from doing it. Come on, has anybody also witnessed that? I've noticed that anytime the desire is there to do wrong, there's a greater power present to keep me from doing it. And I don't know about you, I'm thankful for that today. Anybody else thankful for that today? So Paul had already stated that through faith in Christ, we stand acquitted, having been declared not guilty before God. And here Paul emphasizes that we need to no longer live under sin's power. God does not take the world out of, or take us out of the world and make us robots. How many know that wouldn't be fun at all? Doesn't take us out of the world. He leaves us in the world, listen very carefully, to demonstrate to the world that he has power over sin. It's something powerful about when people are watching you and they know who you used to be and what you used to do. And they watch you gather yourself and get control of who you are, your mind and your thoughts. And you say, no, I don't do those things anymore because Christ has delivered me and made me free from those things. I mean, it's a powerful witness to the world to see somebody say no to sin, no to drugs, no to sex, no to anything that didn't come from God. The only way that the world will ever know that Jesus has delivered us from the power of sin is that they see people walking free from it. I thank God I'm one of those free ones. Do I have any other free ones in here today? It's the only way they'll know and believe it, or they'll think that is not what he said it was, if they don't see us walking in the freedom of it. And so we have been bought with a very high price. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 20. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 20 says, for you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. And so in verse 19, he says, you are not your own. And what the world is trying to tell everyone today, it is your body. You do with it whatever you want to do with it. However you feel today, that's what you can be. That's not true if you're a born-again believer. That is not your body. That body was paid for with the precious blood of the Lamb. And his name is Jesus. I can't just wake up and say I'm something different than what he created me to be. And this is the agenda of the world today, is to try to destroy the image of God in you. The agenda of the world today is to say that you are not what God created you to be. You are a pronoun. You are gender neutral. You are however you feel today. If you feel this way, be that. And I'm telling you, you are what God made you to be. You are what you were born as. And you are awesome in God's sight. And he can deliver you from that thinking if you would just allow him to today. And so Paul here is really helping us understand that we, our bodies don't belong to us. It belongs to God. And we have a responsibility to glorify God with our bodies and our spirits. Many people, again, have said, I have the right to do whatever I want to do with my body. It's my body, right? Now again, we're about 10 years old now, so I'm getting ready to come with some real strong stuff. And I'm going to tell you, it's not your body. And you can't do with it what you want to do. You got to think about that stuff before you make choices. Now another life is involved. I'm going to leave that alone for right now. But I got a lot of ammunition for you. See, and somebody has to protect the innocent from the mistakes that irresponsible people make and punish the innocent for it. Somebody say, it's not my body. It was paid for at a great price. And that price was the precious blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Somebody lift their hands and thank God for the blood today. Oh, I said, somebody lift their hands and thank God for the blood today. Woo, come on, somebody thank God for that blood today. Such a high price for our salvations, right? The fact that we have been bought at such a high price brings to mind the picture of slaves purchased at an auction. Christ's death freed us from sin, and it also obligates us to his service. If you were renting somebody else's house, or living there, they allowed you to live there, how many know that house is going to come with some rules? What you can do and what you can't do with somebody else's house. How many of y'all would agree with that? Right? And if you understand that, then you're going to treat that house properly if you want to continue to live there. I hope you heard what I just said. Because how many of y'all know you can get evicted when you take advantage of other people's property? And it's a privilege to live in the house. What did I just say? It's a blessing to be alive today. Come on, somebody should just thank God for life today. And it's his spirit that comes to live on the inside of us that gives us that life. Let's look at Colossians chapter 2, verses 13 through 15. And you being dead in your trespasses, see, and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he is made alive together with him, having forgiven you all of your trespasses. I'm talking to somebody that's watching online right now. I'm talking to somebody that's in this room. I'm talking to someone in overflow right now. Everything that you have ever done in your life collectively, he's forgiven you of. Oh, let me try this side of the room. I'm talking to everyone in this room, everyone watching in overflow, everyone watching online right now. Everything you have ever done in your life collectively, he's forgiven you for all of it. Come on, I came to liberate somebody today. God is not mad at you. Come on, God doesn't want to punish you. The only thing God wants to do is love you and help you be ultimately what he created you to be. That is his only harsh desire. And if you'll just make a decision for him today, today can be the first day of the rest of your life. And what I love about God's redemptive power is he can take you from today and then cause everything because of the bad choices that you made back there, he can cause all of that to be corrected and restore it all back to you on this side. So you still end up in life with everything that you were supposed to have because you made better choices. I don't know about you all, but that is just a wonderful, wonderful gift to mankind. And so in Colossians 2, 13 through 15, he says that all of our trespasses have been forgiven, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Having disarmed principalities and power. See, how many know Satan and all of his demons have power, but through the death, burial, and resurrection, they've been disarmed. And the only power they have today is the power that we give them. But he's really like a roaring lion seeking about whom he may devour. But I mean, there are some people that he cannot devour. When he gets to the ones that he cannot devour, they realize that he is a lion with a big mane, but he actually doesn't have any teeth. All he can do is gum you and lick you. Come on, somebody. Because he has no teeth. All of his teeth were taken out of his mouth through that death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And he's been disarmed from all of his power. And when Jesus rose from that grave, he said, I have all power in my hand. And he said, now I take this power and I give it to you. So now you have power to tread on serpents and scorpions. Come on, somebody. To heal the dead, to raise the sick, to live out what he provided for us on that day. He gave all of that power to us. Having disarmed principalities and powers, I love this. He made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. While they thought they were winning on Thursday and Friday, and they were having a party in hell, how many know he was doing the rope-a-dope on them? And so while George Foreman was just getting tired, this is all Jesus was doing. Then on Sunday morning, boom, gave him the final knockout blow. And I believe he took Satan and all of his imps. Come on, somebody. You know how it is when you win a championship. He took Satan and all of his imps and said, I have authority over all of these. And then he openly just triumphed over them by healing more people, by getting more people saved. How many know he's going to openly triumph over Satan again today? Because he's going to inherit more souls into his kingdom. And it's going to happen openly. Somebody say it's going to happen openly. So the record that he's referring to here that was canceled contained the legal requirements of the Old Testament law, which we by nature could never carry out. And so the law demanded payment for sin. And so Jesus said, since they can never do it within and of themselves, I'll do it for them. What a big brother. What a savior, man. This disarming occurred when Jesus died on that cross. And like stripping a defeated enemy of his army on the battlefield, can you imagine just walking up to an army and taking off their armor? Taking their weapons from them and just defeating them openly in front of everybody. That's what Jesus did to Satan. We give Satan too much credit. But walking around, Satan this, Satan that. I know it's Jesus this and Jesus that. Satan, Satan, Satan. I'm telling you, he is a lion with no teeth, making you think. It's all in your mind, trying to confuse the way you think. Let's look at Hebrews. I'll close here for today. Hebrews 9:12. Not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood, he entered into the most holy place once and for all. See, when he stood up there and he said, it is finished, right? And he went to that grave. And he rose from that grave. He took that blood and he put it on that mercy seat. And he said, the price has been paid. Listen to this. So that sin would never have any power over your life. You've been redeemed from sin, or you can be today, right? Now it takes faith to receive this. He took poverty and put it all on him so that all of your needs could be met your entire life. And then he stripped the fear of death from your life and gave you the gift of eternal life if you would receive it today. What a great exchange. Come on, somebody ought to just lift their hands and thank God. What a great exchange. I don't have to be sick. I have to choose to be sick. I don't have to be poor. I have to choose to not have my needs met. And sin is a big reason why those things happen. And that's why he took the power of sin out of your life and removed it, because that's what leads to sickness, death, and poverty. And I no longer have to fear death, because I'll live throughout all of eternity. The rest of that verse says this: having obtained eternal redemption. He delivered on the plan. How many know a lot of people plan a lot of things and don't deliver on them? Right? Anybody ever planned something for you and they didn't come through? But see, Jesus planned this out from beginning. God planned this out from beginning to end. And then came back to make sure he could seal it. The only person I know that wrote a will, died, rose from the grave, came back, signed the will. Come on, somebody. And then went back to heaven. Come on, come on, come on. Some of y'all missing this, right? And then there's a part to this story that I want to make sure that you don't forget, right? When they came back for 40 days, right? The scripture says that he just went up into heaven. And the angel said, why are you all standing here gazing at him as he leaves? The same way that you're seeing him leave, he's coming back again. Come on, can we celebrate the fact that he's coming back again? So let's all stand to our feet. I'm just out of time. So much more I could have said today. And so now I realize how to keep the main thing the main thing. And the important thing for you and for me to know is that Christ was foreknown before the foundation of the world. But he was manifest in these last times for you. And you think your grandmother, your grandfather, your parents, you think they brought you to here today. But it was actually the Holy Spirit that led you here today. So that you can see and hear that he was literally manifest in these last times for you. I want you to put your hand over your heart and say, he was manifest in these last times for me. That's the greatest revelation I could ever receive, is that he did all of this for me. So to put it very simply, the cross of Christ was not an ambulance sent to a wreck, but Christ was the lamb who was slain before the foundation of the world, because God knew all the time that Joel Gregory was going to be a mess and he would need a savior. Just like he knew you would be a mess. Come on, don't leave me out here. Don't leave me up here by myself. Come on, anybody in here was a mess, and thank God that he cleans you up, right? But God knew that I would need a savior. And so he loved me enough to provide that savior. And all I need to know that there is a God in heaven with a great big heart of love who provided redemption for me by his grace. I don't have to work for this. All I have to do is believe for this. Praise God. I trust that this message has touched your heart today. Listen, we don't claim to have all the answers, but we do know one answer,
and his name is Jesus Christ. So if you don't have a personal relationship with him today, we want to invite you to do so. Or maybe you had one with him, but you've just gotten away and you're desiring to come back to Christ today. I want to lead you in a simple prayer today. If you would, repeat this after me. Put your hand over your heart and say these words. Say, "Dear Heavenly Father, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I believe that he died, rose from the grave, and he is alive right now. Lord Jesus, come into my heart and save me now. As a result of what I've confessed with my mouth and what I believe in my heart, I am right now born again and in right standing with God. In Jesus' name." Praise God. We are so excited for you. We believe that today is the first day of the rest of your life. Congratulations. We are so excited that you made the decision to get connected to God.
Thank you for listening today. If this message encouraged or inspired you in any way, please subscribe to us on your favorite podcast app and leave a review too. For past messages, updates, and more, please visit us at linkedupchurch.com or download the Linked Up Church app. You can also watch live services, view past messages, and see our dynamic content for children, youth, and teens on our Facebook and YouTube pages. Follow us on Instagram and Facebook at Linked Up Church. And if you would like to support more of what we're doing, you can give online at linkedupchurch.com or text Get Connected to 94000. Thanks again for listening. Have an amazing week, and we look forward to connecting with you.